I feel that the message I'm going to bring is in many ways a postscript to what Adam just shared. Thank you, Adam, for that. Maybe he was a forward to my message, one way or the other. The two are connected, as you will see. Because as Adam reminded us, we've been looking at this idea of there being a bigger picture that God is operating in. And I want to read you a story of a man who had burdens, had concerns, and he thought they were just all about him and his wife. But something happened as a result of which he discovered that it was all part of God's bigger picture. Today is, of course, the first Sunday of Advent, and it's not uncommon on this Sunday or around this Sunday to turn to the story of Zechariah, because in many ways his story heralded the coming of Jesus. So I'm going to do that, and as I do that, we will discover perhaps a little of what I've been trying to say just now, that he was a person who realized that there was a bigger picture out there that he was part of. But I say this right at the beginning, I don't want to do this just so that you go away thinking what an interesting and remarkable person Zechariah was. I want you to go away here thinking, what an interesting and remarkable God is, who can actually possibly use me. By me, I of course mean you. Turn therefore with me, or look on your phone, or listen, whatever you want to do, please stay awake. Because it's a long passage. It's in Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. From verse 5. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah. And he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Now, while he was serving as a priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. And he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord's people, and to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know that this is true? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which would be fulfilled in their time." And the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they were wondering at his delay in the temple. When he came out, he was unable to speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple. And he kept making signs to them and remained mute. And when his time of service was ended, he went to his home. After these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she kept herself hidden, saying, "Thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people." We pray, Lord God, I thank you for this. To some may be familiar, but to all of us, remarkable passage. I pray, Lord, that you speak to us from it. I pray, Lord, that my words will be your words into our hearts this morning. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. I said a moment ago that today is the first Sunday of Advent. Advent, of course, is the 4 weeks leading up to Christmas. There's a time of waiting. December is a month of waiting. Maybe for you, 2025 has not been a great year, and you're waiting for it to end, and you're hoping the new year might bring something fresh and new. That's our prayer. Maybe as a student or a school child or a teacher, you can't wait till the end of term. You can't wait till those exams are over and you can just relax a bit. Maybe you're a parent looking forward to children coming home for Christmas. You're waiting. December is a month of waiting. Of course, December is a month when we're waiting for Christmas, for family, and for all that brings. But I want to just for a moment leave aside the specifics of Christmas waiting and think about waiting in the broader sense, and just want to ask you if there's something you're waiting for, something you're hoping for, something you're dreaming for. And maybe to catch the possibility that that thing might fit into God's big picture. And I want to do that by looking at Zechariah, simply as an aid on this little journey we're going on this morning. We know a little bit about Zechariah from the text. We know he was a good man, a righteous man. He was a priest. He'd carefully chosen a wife who also was from a priestly family. But we also know that he was a sad man because his wife was childless. And in that culture, even amongst the Jews, there was this feeling of something must have gone wrong, something must have been done wrong. It was legitimate for a Jew to be excommunicated because he was childless. Maybe because Zechariah had a wife from the children of Aaron. Maybe because he was known to be a righteous man, he was allowed to continue, despite this stigma that settled upon his family, upon him and his wife. So he was a sad man, but also we know quite definitely that he was a praying man. We know that because there was a moment in this story, a pivotal moment in this story that I read to you, where the angel said to him, "Your prayer has been heard." So we know he was a praying man, and we can reasonably conjecture that it wasn't just an odd isolated prayer. I think Zechariah and his wife were people of prayer. So put yourself alongside them. Maybe there's a sense in which you are hoping and praying. Maybe there is a sense in which sometimes you find something in your life difficult to carry, difficult to bear, like they did. But maybe you'd also say to me, "Jeff, I do seek to live a righteous life. I do my best to be faithful to God." So Let's pick up the story. Let's just try and imagine how it was for Zechariah. As I said, they had no child. In the early years of their marriage, no doubt they prayed expectantly that God would bless them with children. And I know the pain of many in our day, friends of mine who've gone through that process of praying and wondering and waiting. And as they prayed, I can imagine Zechariah and Elizabeth saying to themselves, the work of God is so big, so extensive. Our prayer is so small, almost irrelevant to what God is doing. But we'll pray anyway. Maybe God will bless us. They were to discover that their prayer wasn't just incidental, wasn't just them. There was a bigger picture, as we shall see. But that wasn't the only prayer that they prayed. I want to suggest that they also, Zechariah also had been praying, and we know this from the text, that he'd been praying for, put it in simple terms, put it in our terms, he'd been praying an ambitious prayer. He wanted to reach the pinnacle of his career. As a priest, there's nothing that he wanted more than to be chosen to be the priest that offered incense to God in the temple. Now, that whole thing might seem a bit strange to us, and it is a bit strange because we don't generally offer incense when we come to church on a Sunday morning. Some people do, but we don't. And I want to just distill out of that the fact that Zechariah wanted to do all he could for God. But again, you see, he thought, if I could do that, if I could perhaps serve in the temple and do this thing that all the other priests wanted to do, but only some of them got chosen because there are too many priests to go round. And many priests in that day, because there are so many of them, would have died without having had this privilege. He wanted it because he wanted to be able to stand there and offer incense. He thought it'd be a one-off thing. He thought it'd be a moment. He thought it'd be something he'd put in, he'd get someone to take a picture on their phone and put it in the scrapbook and just keep it and remember it. But God isn't like that. If God takes you on a journey, takes you to a step, Adam was sharing this earlier, took Adam to a point where God was saying, there's more, there's something else. It's not just a walk on the hills. I've got something more to show you. Zechariah was to discover that. But he was waiting for that prayer to be answered. But he had a third prayer also. We know if you read the end of Malachi, which is just before, at the end of the Old Testament, that there are people waiting, God's people were waiting for the Messiah, waiting for the promise of the Messiah. There was a belief that there would be a forerunner to the Messiah who would be a bit like Elijah or perhaps even another Elijah. Maybe Elijah would come back, but some way there would be a spectacular coming of the Messiah. And Zechariah and others would have prayed and hoped and prayed and hoped. And they would have said, what difference is my little prayer going to make? But maybe with a bit of luck, in my lifetime, something will happen. They were the prayers on Zechariah's heart when he went into that temple on that remarkable morning. And gradually, through the message of the angel, it was unraveled to him that God had heard his prayer and the consequences of God hearing. I love to imagine Zechariah standing there, a little bit confused, overwrought by what he's doing, very confused by the fact that an angel was standing there next to him, Luke carefully explains where he was positioned, next to the altar of incense. And then he heard those words which have resonated throughout the rest of his life. Your prayer has been heard, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. And just in that split second, I can imagine him saying, I wonder which prayer in particular it is the angel's talking about. Maybe it's the prayer that I should be here today. And the angel is just reassuring me that God is answering my prayer. Maybe it's the prayer that the Messiah is going to come. He's an angel. He would know these things. Or maybe he hardly dared hope this. Maybe it's the prayer for a son. And to put his mind at rest, immediately the angel answers that question by saying, you will bear, your wife will bear a son. But you see, in this remarkable message the angel brought, he made it clear to Zechariah that the other two prayers also were being answered. And also that even that prayer for a son was part of a much bigger picture than he would ever have imagined, ever dreamt of. Because you see, it was an answer to his prayer that he should stand there in the temple and be the priest in charge on that day. But as I said, he thought that would just come and go. He never dreamt in a million years that when he was doing that, God would communicate with him. He thought it was all about him talking to God on behalf of the people. But just for a moment, God was speaking to him. I want to say to you, my friends, this morning that God sometimes puts his hand on you to serve him, like Adam was sharing earlier. And sometimes we think it's all about what we can do for God. Maybe you're training at Bible college and you're saying to yourself, I'm really looking forward to the opportunity to serve God and do all these things for him, which is good aspiration, not looking that. But on those precious times when you're involved in serving him, the most precious, the thing that trumps it all, is that God wants to communicate with you. He wants to be present with you. He wants to stand there next to you, whether it's in the person of an angel, however it is. It was clearly God's message to him. And just in that moment, Zechariah realized that although he was serving in the temple, doing a routine job, he was part of God's bigger picture. Never forget, God is much bigger than you, my friends. But also, he was answering his prayer because he said, you will have a son. But he went on to explain, we can't go into the detail now, went on to explain who this son would be. Yes, Zechariah, you wanted a boy. There's a sense in which Zechariah would have been happy to go out that day, run back to Elizabeth and say, unbelievable news, we can have a son. But he went back to her and wrote on a tablet just a brief summary of what the angel had said. He couldn't speak to her, as we saw. The fact that his son would be the Elijah that people had been praying for, would be heralding the Messiah. Can you believe it? Not surprising, I'd say, incidentally, not surprising that Elizabeth said, once they'd had that remarkable conception, Elizabeth said, I need to pack my bags and go away for 5 months so I can take it in, just so I can think it through, just so I can pray it through. She wasn't, incidentally, going away in order to keep the pregnancy secret, because those of you who know these things would know that in the first 5 months, nothing much shows anyway. It was the next 4 months when she would have to do that, and she didn't do that. She was bold then, but she needed to spend time with God. That's why she went away. She needed to allow the thing to just germinate in her spirit, because it was a remarkable revelation that son that was to be born was much more than just a child. And of course, just to continue the silence theme, Zechariah, when he had the message, he was told by the angel that he wouldn't speak. It was kind of dressed up as a punishment, but I think much more than that, it was because Zechariah needed to spend time in silence to reflect and wonder and prepare himself. So as you pray for something which for you might seem very personal, maybe you don't mention it to anybody. Maybe you just keep it to yourself or to your spouse or to your family or whatever. As you're burdened for that, maybe God will just show you what you're praying for is part of a much bigger operation that I'm involved in. Believe me for that. And then, of course, part and parcel of that was the angel saying, this prayer you've been praying that the Messiah would come is going to happen. And to your surprise, Zechariah, you're going to be part of the process. Because this son that I've been telling you about is going to be the one who will herald him, the one who will make the way for him. You've been praying for the Messiah to come. Not only will he come, but you will be involved in the process. And that's all that to say, whether it's because we enter in a new year or whatever the situation is, we pray that God will move. We pray that God will move in our nation. And there are signs that God is doing that very slowly, very gently, very quietly. And we pray. And we, as it were, stand back and look at it and say, maybe God, you'll do something over there. And God will perhaps say to us this morning, to each of you this morning, maybe God wants to do something in here. Because what God wants to do in here is part of what he does out there. What you see as the little picture is actually part of God's big picture. So with these thoughts rushing through Zechariah's mind, he went back to Elizabeth. Interesting that he waited until his service was finished. Would have been a temptation for him to have packed his bags that day and say to one of the many priests that were around, wishing it had been their turn, you can take over. No, he saw his duty out. Whatever we do for God, we must be faithful in the little things. And he knew that that little thing that he was doing, he now realized it was part of God's big thing. Because that little thing that he was doing had been the occasion at which God had actually met with him and spoken to him and revealed to him that those things which he thinks, which we might think, which he thought, or we might thought if we put ourselves in the picture, are just incidental, are actually part of what God is doing. So keep waiting, keep hoping, keep praying. It's interesting that Zechariah's name means God remembers. And just imagine God, as Zechariah throughout his life, particularly as he prayed for the coming Messiah, would have heard that word. Whenever anybody said his name, it resonated with him. God remembers. God remembers his promise. God remembers his faithfulness. And he is the same for us today. Let me pray. Dear Lord God, I thank you for your word to us this morning. Through your word. Thank you that your word lives. Thank you for this story. It's not just a remarkable story. It's a story crafted by the Holy Spirit to speak to us today. We thank you that it does. And Lord, as we dare to take on our lips the words of that little song, that we surrender to you. Help us this morning, each of us, Lord, to surrender our hopes and dreams to you, not to let go of them, not to forget them, not to abandon them, but to surrender them to you and dare to believe, Lord, that in your timing, you have a much bigger picture that you're operating in, and you want to involve us in that. So, Lord, I pray that you would encourage our hearts. Pray that we will continue to trust you. Help us to be expectant as we wait. I pray even over this Advent time, as we reflect again on the wonder of the story of the Incarnation, the Lord, that you would reveal things afresh to us as we see that that tiny story, a tiny story of a mother giving birth to a child with a husband standing by, became a center point to your eternal purposes. And in some small measure, Lord, we humbly say to you, would you cause us in our tiny lives also to be a small part of your eternal purposes? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.